Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Scott Morris. He is the president and founder of Fresh Pet, which is a pet food maker based in Secaucus. Scott, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Jeffrey.
Oh, well, thanks for taking the time to do it. I appreciate it. There's a lot I wanted to get into. I wanted to start with just a little bit about the company and its origins. If I remember correctly, it was founded in 2006. You were a former executive at Purina, which is obviously a giant pet food company. So you knew the business. I'm curious about what you saw in the market at that point that said to you, there's a place for me to do something different here. What was going on at that point, and what was your thinking in founding the company?
Right. So it's interesting. We actually started right here in Chatham, New Jersey, which is my hometown now. And I was with Purina, and then I was involved with some private equity groups that also was in the food industry. And one of the things that we started seeing develop, there were two major things that changed. One of them was how people thought about their pets. And if you think about it, like pets, they went from the backyard to the bedroom in a way, or they went from like for the kids to almost being the kids, is the other piece. So there's this real change that was going on. It's often referred to as humanization of pets. So pets became more and more humanized and really part of our family. So the relationship that we have with pets and the role they play in the family start to evolve. That was a really, really big one.
Okay.
So the next one that's also really interesting, that was an interesting dynamic, was that people started thinking very differently about how they ate. You know, so in 2006, if you walked into a room and you said to a whole group of people, who wants to eat a fresher, healthier, less processed diet? You might get half the room that might have said something to you like, oh, wow, I really want to do that. I think today most people would aspire to do that, but may not be eating a fresher, healthier, less processed diet, like no preservatives.
Right.
So we saw those two different dynamics developing. And we really felt there was an opportunity to really kind of change and really disrupt the entire pet food industry.
Okay, so let's talk about then what the product is. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm probably vastly oversimplifying how you do this. It is essentially food that's sort of real. It's not like it doesn't look or taste or smell like Alpo or kibble or anything like that. You have to keep some of it in the refrigerator, and it's made from actual ingredients rather than byproducts and stuff like that. Am I right about that? Is that what you've got?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So based on those two trends we were talking about a moment ago, where people were thinking differently about food and the relationship was changing, we said, well, what's the right food for people today with that, like that whole ideology of this pet is my child, my friend, and also I want to eat a healthier diet. And we started looking around, and this idea of a kibble that sits on a shelf, that's meat that can sit there for almost 2 years in many cases, is really an interesting and really a little bit of a bizarre idea if you think about it. So what food would a consumer really be interested in? Yeah, so that's really where it started. So the first thing we do is we wanted to have the simplest, freshest, least processed ingredients we possibly could. And then we took tons of inspiration from what does good human food, not only how would you make it, but also, and what would the ingredients be and what would it look like and what would it smell like? So when we make our food, it's nutritionally appropriate and hopefully perfect for pets.
Okay.
And that's really the inspiration for it. But we also need to sell the other person. It needs to be the consumer. So it looks great. Not only is it great from a nutritional standpoint, fresher, healthier food, but it looks great. You literally look at it and you'll go, oh my God, this looks like food that I could eat. The next thing people do is they literally will smell the food. And it smells like food you can eat. And then the next piece on the wheel is they actually put it down for the dog and they go, I think this is going to be healthier for my dog. The dog goes crazy, because if you're going to feed your dog fresher food and it's all meat based, you can imagine the dog's reaction to it's extraordinary. And then we see very soon after, they start to see visible differences in their dog's health. They start to see their skin and coat getting better. Energy level, over 40% of people see better, more vibrant dogs. So they consistently see all of that. And that really reinforces that emotional motivation that consumers have, where they like, wow, I want to be a good pet parent.
Okay.
So I'm eating this food. And then it really reinforces that entire flywheel for them to buy more and more of the product. And it's why we see such incredible repeat rates and so much dedication and loyalty to the products that we develop.
Okay, well, there were a couple things there that I wanted to just unpack. Now, first of all, is how you convince people to try this in the first place. What I hear you saying is you're basically appealing to what they would want to eat and say, look, you wouldn't want to eat this kind of stuff. Why would you think your dog would? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm trying to get to how you get people to make the leap to try what you're selling.
Well, I think that you definitely hit on it. It's not just what they would eat, it's the types of food that they would really like and that they believe is really good and healthy for them. So the one of the things that we'll talk about is we're eating a fresher, healthier, less processed diet. Why won't we do the same for our dogs?
Right.
And that's helped us. That's been some of the inspiration for some of the products. Now, again, the goal here is to be the best from a nutritional standpoint we possibly can. But one of the other things we found along the way is not only is it really appealing to consumers, but by taking fresher ingredients that are less processed. So we actually use pasteurization. It's just steamed. We just use simple steam
to
make our foods. So the simplest ingredients cooked as little as possible, that improves the bioavailability, the goodness of the ingredients. And we've actually been able to prove that the amino acid profile is actually better for the dogs, which is why people see that visible difference in their dog's health.
Okay. Now, fast forward then to after the company's founded, you're now here. As I recall, back in 2006, when the company was founded, this was a relatively new concept. Am I right about that? I mean,
absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Nowadays, though, I mean, and I can tell you that, I mean, A, as a dog owner, and B, as someone who was reading about your company and what you do and about you, I'm now getting fed all sorts, no pun intended, all sorts of ads for different kinds of things that are very much like what you're describing. Yes. So how do you stand out from competitors now as opposed to back then when what you were doing was very different, as I said, from Alpo or something like that? What do you need to do now to maintain that that edge that you had?
Yeah, really, really important question. And I'm actually going to back up for 1 second to 2006, just to give everyone a little perspective. When we walked into retailers, so we're available in Walmart and Target and PetSmart and Petco and ShopRite here locally, obviously Stop and Shop. So we're now available all over the country. And what seems logical today, when we first walked in and said, hey, we want to put fresh dog food in the middle of the store in a refrigerator and we want you to clear off dry food, we were literally laughed out of meetings. I mean, it was amazing. And and people in the industry thought we were completely out of our minds. So it seems, this seems like it could make sense today and it seems logical. You can see how much it's moved over from 2006 to today.
Right.
So it's just been amazing. So the question you're asking is really about, well, how do we stay ahead? And I think we've really started real entrepreneurial roots in the company and how we think about the company and how we think about building it and why we're here and really the purpose. And the purpose is to create the best possible food. And the purpose is to delight consumers with healthy pets and really have incredible purpose in our work and really passion behind it. And I think it's really continued to inspire that company. In fact, we talk about it as nourishing pets, people, and planet is really kind of the way we think about our vision and what we're trying to do. And I can touch on that in more detail, but basically what it comes down to is we wanted to make those great products. We have done that. And then we consistently have innovated our products and consistently stayed ahead of the market. So what we thought of is very, very simple introductory products in the beginning. Now we have more forms and more varieties and more specialized nutrition. And now we're developing even more customized meals for different dogs. We also have different brands across different retail partners with different attributes, each one, different types of formulas. We have more product. More very recently, we came out with a product that was actually plant-based proteins, which is really unique and different. But for people that are either vegetarian or vegan, it's something that they really, from an environmental or an animal ethics standpoint, they struggle with. So we're able to have a food for them too. So we've gone from, really innovation in our roots and being entrepreneurial. I think we've continued to carry that forward with our product line, but we're also now moving more and more into a position of not just first mover and not just know-how and how we make our products, but also now we're getting to a point where we have so much more scale than anyone else out there.
Okay.
So when we first started, we were, 5, 10, 15, 25 million. This year, we anticipate being a $600 million company. We're on that type of pace right now.
Right.
So that gives us so much scale in our manufacturing because we make all of our foods, in our advertising, in our logistics and supply chain, et cetera. So that helps to keep us further and further ahead, where we can deliver the best possible proposition and product for consumers as cost effectively as possible across the US, and then really use our scale advantage to make sure that we stay ahead. So our goal is to be like a Gatorade, where Gatorade came out decades ago. There are many other brands, but Gatorade still owns the majority of the category. And that's really our inspiration and what we're working towards and what we've been able to do so far.
Okay. Now you mentioned the refrigerated case in the middle of the dog food aisle. I'm guessing you overcame that resistance because I see them now all the time. So they're there. I imagine, and it's it, you must get some business from people who are just curious as to what this is, right? I mean, if you know you're seeing in a sea of 25 or 40 pound bags of stuff, suddenly there's a case there, a refrigerator with different kinds of things in it. Yeah. Number one. I'm curious as to, does that play a role? I mean, do you get people who are just say, what's this? What's this all about? Maybe I should try this.
Yeah, exactly. So in the very beginning, you typically go into these phases where it's like early adopters. So it's a really small group. Maybe it's 2%, 3%, 5% of a total group or category of people. So it's a small, small group that comes into a brand. And over time, then you start to get to people start, hey, I think I saw the advertising, or my friend was feeding this, or I saw the refrigerator. And first I saw a small refrigerator. Now I saw a big refrigerator in the store. And now sometimes I'm seeing two, and even we actually have stores with three refrigerators. So what starts to happen is then you start moving from like early minority to early majority. Okay. So you start moving to like the next phase, and that's really where the company is. And that's why literally for the past 10 years, we've been able to double the company every 3 years, even though we continue to get bigger.
Right. Okay. And then related to that, I'm curious as to whether you do any outreach to veterinarians or owners of small independent pet shops, which is where we get our dogs' food from, because a lot of people develop relationships like that, and they trust that person who, you know, the local shop owner or the vet to tell them what they need to do. How much of that do you need to do?
You know, it is really important. I wish we could do more of everything. Mm-hmm. And as we grow up and we get bigger, we are doing more of everything. Okay. So there's more national advertising. There's more outreach to vets. There's more outreach to some of the smaller stores. And really kind of, we've always wanted to be as accessible as we possibly can to everyone. There's someone who picks up our phone. It's our folks that are picking up the phone at Fresh Pet. So we always, the idea is we want to get really big and grow over time, but we always want to think like that. We're acting small. So think big and stay small is really kind of one of the mottos that we use.
Okay.
And it's really important. So there are so many different parts of the market that we haven't really developed as much as we would like. And vets are definitely one of them that we need to do more and more outreach. We have a special section of our website that if you click towards the bottom, it's literally for vets. And it shows some of the studies that we've done, some of the research that we've done. Mm-hmm. And we also have a nutrition council, which is a group of vets and veterinary nutritionists that help guide the nutrition and the products that we're developing. Because we're really kind of breaking through. It's really a whole new horizon in pet food. So we want to use people that are experts in this. And these veterinary nutritionists. We also have nutritionists that work for us in the company, and we really rely on them to help us develop products. It's not just that it looks good and smells good. Again, it's really the foundation has to be perfect and ideal nutrition in every aspect.
Okay. All right. You mentioned doing well by the planet, and from readings through your materials, that's a theme that goes through it, that you not only want to do, you know, you're not only interested in healthy pets, but also a healthy planet. How are you able to do that now? I mean, is that still a big part of what you do? Why? And how do you make that happen?
Yeah. So it is, and one of the things that I'm proudest of is not just that we've grown and we've become like a bigger company and a public company, but it's how we've done it, how we've touched the world along the way.
Okay.
So I always think of a company, you know, first you just think about like, well, what's the potential? What's the size? But the next thing that's so important is like, what's the purpose of this company? And that's where we talk about this idea of pets, people, and planet, nourishing every one of those. Okay. And if you can create a great purpose, that makes people incredibly passionate about your company. And it's not just the people that are buying your products, it's the people within the company. So we absolutely focus on that every day. Like, we know that we have to make sure that our team is really excited about what we're doing, passionate, and feels really, really proud that of the products that we make. And if we're not doing that, then we have to kind of pause and time out and rethink it. So that's absolutely critical, is that we have that purpose in the company and that people are really passionate and excited about it. And that works externally and it also works internally. And I think people start to understand and feel, what's your company about? What's your purpose? And as they see that, I think that they realize there's a lot of authenticity there. We never want to be the giant company that feels like a smokestack with a logo that's a giant ivory tower. That's right. Why we always want to be as accessible as we possibly can be.
Okay. And what's your role? I mean, you're the founder or a co-founder. How do you do that? How do you go about, what have you learned about how you go about? I mean, you, as I said, you were at Purina, it was obviously a different kind of place. What have you learned, and what was the biggest challenge in you trying to build that kind of culture?
Yeah, no, it's a really, really good question. It's so, so important. And I actually think of my role, it's really unique because it's evolved from in the very beginning, like there were a few of us that did everything. And then today, like there's literally almost 1,000 people in the company. So we're really, really proud of that. But we also know it's very, very precious and really important. But we want to keep that ideology really right from the beginning. So I think of myself as a helper. And I'm literally there no matter what it is in the company, because I've kind of seen bits and pieces of every single thing we've ever done. So wherever I can help, that's where I'll go and do. And it doesn't matter. Literally, it does not matter what it is. I have spent time on our lines within the past 2 years, like literally standing at night, working one of our lines to help out at times. I joke that I water the plants on Fridays, but there's nothing that's above any of us. And what I find often, that what starts to happen in bigger organizations is the people that are really carry a lot of the inspiration and that really have like led the company over time, they get further and further away from the consumer and they get further and further away from the customer, in this case, the retailer. Okay. And I really work hard to stay as close as I can to the consumer and also our customers. And I think that connection, and then really us, again, I don't have an office. I've gone out of my way not to have an office. It's an open space. Okay. Everyone has my cell phone. It's on the bottom of every single one of my emails. It goes back to the idea of accessibility, right. Authenticity. Okay. And I think it's those cultural values that we started with that we've been able to kind of carry forward in the organization and really demonstrate that. We don't just talk about them. We try and really live them. We have awards. Like if someone's exhibiting those behaviors, we actually will give out basically a Fresh Pet Values Award to those people. Okay. So I think we try to encourage that along the way. And I feel really, really fortunate because I look at where I am in my career, and I think of careers as having four basic stages. The first one is there's a ton of learning. Now you never stop learning, but the most learning is earlier on. And then you have to start thinking about, well, how do you leverage all the things that you've learned in your career? How do you leverage them to do bigger and broader things? And everyone thinks about leveraging differently and has different goals. And then the next thing, which I'm really getting towards, is what's the legacy? What's the legacy that you leave behind from the work that you do? And I'm really trying to make sure that we leave a great, great company. You know, at some point, like I will not be involved at some point in the company. Mm-hmm. So what's the legacy that we leave behind? And then finally, hopefully you get to work on the things you love with the people that you love. So I like to think of it that way.
Okay. All right. Now you're also the co-founder of something called Hive Brands. I'm curious about that. What is that? What did that come from? What's your involvement there?
Yeah. So several people that I worked with over time and different brands that I've worked with over time, I started seeing that many of these brands were started to be founded with real great purpose and also really focused on sustainability. And then the other thing I started noticing and seeing was that there are a lot of consumers that really, really wanted to basically think about sustainability and shop sustainably, but it is so hard to be sustainable and figure out which are the most sustainable brands. So the idea of Hive is to identify all these different categories, figure out what the most sustainable practices are and the best brands, the most sustainable brands in every category. So in coffee, what's the most sustainable practices from a packaging, from a growing, from a shipping, from a production standpoint? So we want to find those brands and bring them on to Hive. And this is really part of something that I would like to leave, you know, a great legacy behind. The goal is to help encourage millions of consumers to shop more sustainably, but also give hundreds of brands a platform to really be successful and build. And if we can do that, think of the impact that we can have really across the economy and in the world.
Okay.
Because these brands are doing so much good and so much great work. If we can get everyone thinking about that. So it's trying to help facilitate consumers to be more sustainable and help them on their sustainability journey.
Right. Well, that is, sustainability is one of the watchwords that we hear over and over again. I've had lots of conversations about that concept and how to do it and what it entails. So good luck with that. It's probably necessary. One last thing before I let you go, I'm curious. A phenomenon that we've reported on, and others have too, it's not just us, but the sort of boom in pet ownership from the pandemic, where lots of people stuck at home, not able to go out and do anything, you went out and got, you know, a furry friend, a four-legged friend to be around the house. I'm curious, A, did you see that phenomenon? Did it show up in your business? And B, do you think that's from what you can see and what your experience is? Is that a permanent change, or are people going to go back to what they were doing before the pandemic?
So I think a lot of people always aspire to have a pet.
Right.
I think that the changes in the pandemic, not only during, but now there's more and more work from home. I think a lot of people were able to go out and get pets and have them today. So we absolutely, I think in the category, there was kind of a pull forward, and there was a little bit more volume in sales that came forward. And now those pets are in homes, and it's been very, very sticky. And look, the thing that we love about that is we know this is not our work. This is research that's been done for many, many years. People with pets live longer, healthier lives. And there's a lot of reasons for it. One of them is activity, the emotional connection. Mm-hmm. There's microbiome. There's a whole bunch of different reasons. There's companionship. So we think it's terrific that more people were able to get pets, because it really does. Pets and people live longer, healthier lives together. If we can help that and we can facilitate that in any way, then that's really what we want to do. So we absolutely have seen that change. We think it's here to stay. Okay. We think that the people that got pets realize they make my life better. And hopefully they're going to live longer and healthier lives with them.
Okay. Well, I hope that's true. As I said, being a dog owner, I hope that means that I will live a longer and healthier life than otherwise, because frankly, sometimes it can be a little frustrating.
Yes, I know. They can try your patience sometimes, but overall, they're amazing, amazing partners and amazing to have in your homes.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. I would not trade Scout for anything. So I'm happy to do that. Well, Scott Morris, founder, president of Fresh Pet. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And I hope you come back and tell us how it's going at some point. Give us an update.
I'd love to, Jeffrey.
Great.
Thank you so much. Good talking with you.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.